It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day, Lord God, for this day that you have made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies, Lord God. And as we come together, we gather here online, Lord God, or us who are here, Lord, and wherever we are, we remember our fathers who are here with us, who are here on earth with us, Lord God, loving, caring men who take care of their children, Lord God, and be the support that they need. And for those of us who are fathers who have gone home to be in heaven with you, Lord God, Lord, we miss them, but we remember the wonderful times we had with them, and we give you thanks. And so today we ask a special blessing upon each and every father this day, Lord God, and the father to be. And Lord God, we pray blessings on every man, Lord God, that they will be strengthened by you, Lord Jesus, no matter where they are and whether they're fathers or not. We pray for them today. Give them strength, Lord God, and let the fathers know that when they do their job and do it well, they do it to honor you. And so, Lord God, speak a word now for all of us, and speak a word especially for your sons, the fathers on this earth. Speak a word, God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so today, friends, my sermon title is God's Agape Love. God's Agape Love. Agape. And what is agape? Agape is a Greco-Christian term referring to love. Agape is Greek. It's a Greco-Christian term referring to love, the highest form of love and charity, the love of God for humankind, and the love of humankind for God. The word is not to be confused with philia, which is brotherly love, kind of love you have for your brother or your sister. In Greek, it's called philia. Or self-love, which is philautia. Self-love, the love we have for ourselves, which is important. Agape embraces a universal, unconditional love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. Agape, unconditional love. It goes beyond just the emotions to the extent of seeking the best for others. So agape goes beyond emotions to the extent of seeking the best for others. Hence, within Christianity, agape is considered to be the love originating from God or Christ for humankind. In the New Testament, it refers to the covenant love of God for humans, as well as for human reciprocal love for God, agape. And so today we want to look at God's unconditional agape love. One of our songs that we sing that says, love came down at Christmas, love, oh lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. That is agape love. Agape love would let Jesus come down at Christmas. And then we have another song, love divine, all loves excelling. Right? Joy of heaven and earth came down. Fix in us thy humbly dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us by thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. agape, that love that would have God wrap himself in to the personhood of a baby to come down to die on a cross. Isaac Watts would say, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That love that is so amazing, that demands from those who have found that love, who understand that love, who embrace that love, it demands our soul and our life and our all. Agape, that kind of love that we cannot explain, that kind of God's unconditional love. When we think how much we love our children, would we then want to sacrifice our children for anyone? We would not want to, because we cannot live up to agape love. We could only aspire, but that kind of agape love we cannot. And so I want to show us a little bit from the Genesis text about God's unconditional love for everybody. Whether we like it or not, or we like them or not, God's unconditional love is for everyone, right? And we see here in this Genesis text that Abraham had two sons, right? He had one son with Sarah, the son of promise, so to speak, the son that they would have in their old age. The first son, and then the first son really, was the son of a slave woman. And that slave woman was called Hagar, right? And she's born out of Abraham and Sarah on doubt. Understandable doubt, because they were getting older and God had promised them to have a baby. The angel had showed up at their house and Sarah had heard the angel of the Lord say, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed because Sarah was in her 90s and she didn't think it was possible. And so she gave her servant woman, to her husband to have a baby. And Ishmael would be born out of that relationship. And then later on, she would have the son of promise, Isaac, that would be born, that she and Abraham would have. And these two little boys are growing up together. One is younger, one is a little bit older. And as you know, as human being, there's a little jealousy that came in, because the Ishmael and Isaac is the son of promise. They're playing together and Abraham loves them both. He loves them both. He is a father who loves both sons. One was gotten one way, shouldn't have, and the one was gotten the right way. But he shouldn't, but he loved them both. And we ought to love our children no matter what the circumstance. Why? Because the children are not responsible for it. Fathers, wherever you are, we ought to love them. This is what God is showing us here. No matter what, how those kids came about, we fathers, I'm telling you now, was a prophetic work from the Lord. God expects you, whether you have that child out of wedlock, in wedlock, next to wedlock, next week wedlock, whatever it is, you are supposed to what? Take care of that child and love that child, because you have become a father for that child. And God is going to demonstrate that today to us. So the kids are playing and Sarah gets a little jealous and she wants the boy Ishmael to leave. The mother and the boy to leave. Leave and don't. And sometimes, you know, we don't get our blessings because we're disobedient to God. And I never ever admire men who have children and don't support them. And they get married and they have children in one household and the other household, they forget that poor kid that is out there. God does not want us to do it. And so she told her husband, you need to get rid of him. And God spoke to Abraham and God said to Abraham, do what Sarah says, because I am going to take care of it. Because Isaac will be the son of promise no matter what. Send Hagar and the boy away. Oh, when you read that story, it breaks your heart when you begin to read it until you see how God is going to show up. It says here, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with the son Isaac. And Abraham does not want to do it. Ishmael is, after all, his son. Abraham knew that Ishmael was his son, right? And sometimes you marry somebody else and you have your children from the first marriage and you tend to treat them badly. That is not of God, because the children are not responsible, right? And God reassures Abraham that Ishmael too will be the father of a nation. That Ishmael will be a father of a nation. And we're not going to get into the political or the theological discussion of, you know, where Islam came out of and Christianity. That's not the story for today. It's about these two boys, right? But for the second time in her life, Hagar is visited by God. There she is in the desert. She's weeping, the slave woman. How true that is for many people who have been second and third and way down on the totem pole, that God will show up for them in God's time. The Bible says that Hagar is visited by God, or often, or it says the angel of God. It's interchangeable, right? Is visited by God as she's out there in the desert crying. She doesn't know what she's going to do. The water that she has, she brought into the desert for her boy, and the food that they gave her is now running out. And she really wants to die. She wants to die so she doesn't have to see her son die before her. She's in the desert. That's what the story is about. And God heard the voice of the lad. God would hear the voice of the boy crying. You see that in Genesis 21:17. In Hebrew, the first few syllables of this verse are the name Ishmael. The name Ishmael means God heard. Ishmael, God heard the boy, heard the child. That's the kind of loving God he is. And it is the only time in the whole story that Ishmael's name appears, as if to emphasize the meaning of that name, that God would hear this boy. There are young boys and girls there who their parents, fathers have forgotten them, and because of whatever disagreement they have had with the mothers, or they have forgotten them. And let me tell you, God will hear the cry and the prayer of these children. These children are not responsible to be abandoned. So thank God for all the good fathers, whether they are married or still married, but they're in the life of their children. And so God hears the cries of the outcast and the abandoned. God hears and has compassion. God hears the cries of the outcast and the abandoned. God does not only hear the cry of those of us who are on the inside. God hears the cry. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Hagar and says what angels always say: do not be afraid.
Amen.
Do not be afraid, though things seem hopeless. Don't be afraid. That God will then come and speak to the slave woman who is now in the desert all by herself, hungry, scared, and worried. And she's put her kid at one side and want to die so she wouldn't see him die, because the little bit of water that's left, whatever she had, you know, the little morsel that she has, it's for him. God would speak from heaven. God, the Father that all men should emulate, says, do not be afraid. He had, do not be afraid, though things seem hopeless. Take the child in your arms. I have heard his cries. I will save him, and I will make of him a great nation. And God opens Hagar's eyes to see a well of water. Friends, God would provide a well of water in the wilderness for Hagar.
Amen.
That's what God does. Huh? God would hear the cry of that boy, and God would provide a well of water in the wilderness. Oh, glory to God this morning. God would provide, and God opens acres and see a well of water nearby. Just as Abraham in the next chapter will see the ram, and that's another story. And in both cases, the seeing leads to a new life for Abraham's son. So God would save Abraham's first son, which was Ishmael. In case you did not know, Ishmael was the first son. And no matter how Ishmael was born, because they did not understand and they disobeyed God, they tried to fix it themselves, Sarah and Abraham, God would still honor that boy and save his life in the wilderness. I know we're living in hard times now with all kinds of circumstance and things happening and conflict. But I want to tell somebody who's listening today, it doesn't matter who you are, what your social status is, what your economic status is, what your race, what your class, God will hear your cry when you are in the wilderness.
Amen.
He'll hear your cry anyhow, but he'll especially show up in the wilderness and make a way out of no way for you.
Amen.
And maybe there's a father listening today who is struggling. Maybe there's a father who doesn't have all the money in the world to give their kids everything. There are fathers who could pay for their kids in college. A father who could buy their kids car and feed them. They'll give them above what they can afford because God has blessed them. Their father who could pay down payment on their kids' houses. Their fathers who can do that. Their fathers who could buy their kids a new car when they graduate from school. But their fathers who are working every day, 2-3 jobs, getting up early in the morning just to put food on their table. God honors that and loves them too.
Amen.
And sometimes God's love is even more so for them. Not that he loves them anymore, but he'll show up when they're in hard, desperate places.
Amen.
Right? Because he knows that they're doing their best. So this morning I want to remind you that God's unconditional love, God's agape love, God's love does not see color, class. Sometimes it seems to us that God's love is selective. But I have come to believe and to know in my heart that God's love is not selective. Maybe hurt and pain. We see hurt and pain. And we see evil perpetuating all the time. But God's love is not selective. It doesn't happen always when we expect it. But in an opportune time, God's love will come through. And so we thank God for his unconditional love. The psalmist would say, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you." We have to call on God and wait for him. "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call on you, for you will answer me." I hope a father is listening today. Maybe there's a father listening who have been crying out to God. Crying out to God. Maybe they have lost their job. Maybe they have lost their job. Maybe something has happened. Maybe because of COVID, things have happened. I am encouraging you today to call out to God. Cry and call out to God. God will hear. I know sometimes men take things so hard. They lose their job and they're depressed and broken because they're supposed to be the head of the household and they're supposed to provide and they can't show a tear and they have to be so strong, stronger than everybody else. But men, today I'm telling you, there's a God who loves you, fathers. There's a God who cares about you, fathers. There's a God who one you could call out to. You could call out, and we who are raising young men and raising boys, we need to tell them that it's okay to call out to God, to cry to God. God will hear and answer their prayers. That God does not only give women hope, God gives men hope.
Amen.
God loves men. God loves women. God loves boys and girls. Women, men are special to God, just like women are special to God. It is unconditional love. So today on this Father's Day, whatever you may be going through, there are men who have stuff. There are men who have financial gifts. There are men who can afford, still yet they are lonely. lonely and desperate. They're broken in their hearts, whatever the circumstances, right? Money does not dictate happiness, and it does not dictate that you have it all well. But if you call out to a God man today, if you call out that same God who would bring out Ishmael out of that desert, that same God will take care of you. Turn to me and be gracious to me, the psalmist says. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your servant maid. Show me your sign of favor so that those who hate me will see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. God's love will help. So what are the benefits of God's unconditional love as I close? What are the benefits of God's unconditional love? Number one, we can trust in God's love. We can trust in God's love no matter what. My love may fail you. Others' love may fail me. But God's unconditional love will never fail you. Number two, our salvation is an expression of God's love. The fact that we're saved, our salvation is an expression of God's love for us. Our salvation. Thanks be to God for that. Number three, our ability to love is enabled through God's love. Our very ability to love someone is because we first know that God loves us. We love better when we realize that God loves us. So we could love somebody else. And we could strive for agape. Right? We could strive. We could do philia, brotherly and sisterly love, because God loves us. Number four, we can rest in God's love. There's a place of peace and rest that we can mend, that you could rest in God's love. To know that no matter what, God loves you. Imperfect as you are, imperfect as I am, God loves us and will bring us through. God will. God will not abandon you. And number five, we can have confidence in God's love. We can have confidence, sure confidence, because God's love is not conditioned on anything. Can you imagine? Not conditioned. It's not conditioned on your size. That's conditioned how you look. It doesn't condition on how you speak, what language you speak. It is not conditioned on the nice clothes you wear. There's no condition. There's nothing you could do, my brothers out there today, fathers and men. There's nothing you could do to stop God from loving you. You may sin against God and you have to pay the consequences of that sin. But God doesn't stop loving you. Does not stop loving you, because God is love. And God loves the men too. And the boys too. Just as our God loves us. So today, my friends, my brothers in Christ, men, I wish you God's agape love. I wish that you are filled with God's agape love. I hope and pray that you know that God's agape love surrounds you, extends to you, it's unending, and it will never stop from now until eternity. And I pray on this Father's Day that you will bask in God's agape love. Amen.
Amen.